The following program may contain mature subject matter and coarse language. Viewer discretion is advised.
People may know this, people may not, but I used to be a doctor at an HMO in LA for 7 years. I was an internal medicine physician. I worked at a medical center called Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente, what a dumb name, you know what I mean? It's like Spanish for a German with a perm, I'm not sure. So I worked at Kaiser for 7 years, and then somewhere along the line, I said, fuck it, I'll be naked and famous in a movie. And that is what makes America great, all right? The first movie I ever did was Knocked Up. I don't know if you saw it with Seth Rogen, Judd Apatow movie, where I played the fake doctor to Katherine Heigl's fake baby and delivered it out of her fake vajayjay, that kind of thing. It was my first movie ever. I was still working at Kaiser. I was still a doctor when I filmed that movie. I took out a vacation week and shot that, all right? True story. And everybody who is anybody in comedy was in that movie. It was Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, Craig Robinson, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, Jay Baruchel, Jonah Hill, Jason. It's like the Avengers of comedy. Most amazing moment in my comedy life. And Judd Apatow said to me after my last scene, you are my discovery, and I'm going to put you in all of my movies. And he did. I would not be here if it wasn't for Judd. So shout out to him. Yeah. And then the next day I had to work at Kaiser. You know what I mean? That's where I came up with the chow gist toss, Kaiser. I was so checked out at that point. I did not want to be a doctor anymore. I know it was time to go pro, but I was so depressed. I didn't know how. I didn't know if I had the guts to do it. The next day after Knocked Up, I was like, patients were waiting for hours to see me. I was like in a trance. And my nurse was like, Dr. Jung, you have a patient in room 2 waiting to see you. I just did a movie, Carol. You don't get it, man. So I end up quitting my job, and everyone supported me except my strict, traditional Korean father. Oh, that severely bumped. He wanted me to be a doctor ever since I was born, before I was born. So when I quit, he was mad. He was like, oh, you bring great shame to Jung family. And then after the hangover, we are so proud. Proud of your tiny ding-dong. As I say in Korean, the smaller the penis, the bigger the box office. And yes, for those wondering at home, yes, it was real. It was cold in Vegas, all right? It was cold. I'm a grower, not a shower. I have 2 kids. It works, all right? It's how the pencil writes, bitch, all right? Okay, mine can write in cursive. And oh my God, calligraphy. Calligraphy. I tell you, when you get hangover famous, Asian parents, they don't know how to deal with that shit, all right? My dad went from father to freeloader just like that. When I was a kid, it was like, you better get me good grades. And then after the hangover, you better get me S-class Mercedes. Because E-class is for farmers. Okay, Papa, okay, whatever you want. but I would not be here if it wasn't for The Hangover. Mr. Chow is the best character I've ever played. It's the most hilarious character. It gave me a career. Are you guys ready for a good show? Please welcome my buddy, the Godfather, Orny Adams!
Bonjour, Montreal. How you doing? I just bought a fridge. I bought a fridge, a smart fridge. You know what that is? I got a smart fridge. My fridge, there's a screen on my fridge. I call the guy over in the store. I go, who's watching TV on the fridge? He goes, oh, no. If you tap the screen twice, it shows you everything inside. This is for the people that this is too much work. Some people are going, oh my God, every day I have to start the day by opening this heavy door. I haven't even had my coffee yet. When are they going to put a screen on the fridge? This is your dumb generation. Putting screens everywhere. A fridge doesn't need a screen. A fridge doesn't need a screen. It needs to stay cold and have a little light bulb so we can eat shit in the middle of the night. Then the guy said to me, he goes, you know, you can talk to the fridge too. You go, hey, fridge, am I out of half and half? I don't need to talk to my fridge. I'm already talking to too many things. My phone, my car, my TV. I've started talking to stuff that doesn't even talk. I was yelling at the ceiling fan last week going, slow down. Slow down. What are you, dumb? Don't make me get off this couch and pull the cord. Why can't you be like the fridge? Why can't you be like the fridge? Then the guy keeps going. He goes, you know why? He goes, the fridge will track your food by UPC code. It'll text you when you're out of something. I don't need my fridge on the internet. Now somebody hacks my fridge and they release a naked picture of me going like this. People are trolling me on the internet. I don't know if you can see over your gut, but you're low on ketchup. You're low on ketchup. I was going to buy one for my parents. My parents with the technology, with the old people. My mom would text me. She, every time I get a text message, she thinks it's a doorbell. Every time. Ding, somebody at the door. Ding, somebody at the door. We're in the car, Mom. We're in the car. Let's use some reasoning, deduction or induction, whatever the difference is. I just bought my parents their second Apple TV. Why? They did something to the first Apple TV that could not be fixed. They found the settings. Old people, let us set your stuff up and leave it alone. They made the subtitle so big it took up the entire screen. Just like five words, that's it. Apple TV goes, well, they must be blind. It turned on something called voice assist for blind people, and it was speaking Japanese. I called Apple, they go, throw it out, just buy a new one. Just, if you can afford a smart fridge, you can just buy another Apple TV. There's no hope. There is no hope for these old people. There's a lot of money in death. There is a lot of money in death. I'm buying a house. When you buy a house, the seller has to disclose to you everything that can bring the value down. A cracked roof or leaky basement or mold. Even stuff like if somebody died in the house in the last few years. So listen to me. If you're old, if you're old and you think you're dying, get out of the house! Get out of the house and die, and die! You're gonna die anyway. Do it outside. Do it outside on the pavement. Grab the iPhone we gave you. Go to the pavement. Die. And call 911. Call 911. Call 911. And then call your kids and say, I'm dying on the sidewalk. Because I love you. Because I love you. And I don't want to bring the value of the house down. Thank you so much, Montreal.
Our next comic was born in Iran and raised in Southern California, two places most Americans can't find on a map. Please welcome the very funny Amir Kay.
Yes! This is amazing. This is absolutely incredible for me. I'm like blown away every time I look. Just, I'm in Montreal for the festival. This is crazy. It's nuts. Like, if you were to come up to me when I was a really little kid, and you were to tell me, hey, buddy, like, one day you're going to grow up, and you're going to be a professional comedian, and you're going to work the biggest comedy festival in the world, I'd probably look you right in the eye, and I would go, Mama ni khor kose mano vele mi kone. Because I didn't speak English then, man. I was a little kid in Iran. Why would you be talking to me like that? I was born in Iran. Born in Iran. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. Didn't expect that. Born in Iran. Came when I was 5 years old to the States. Moved to the States, Southern California. And we moved to Orange County, of all places. Pretty, you don't have to clap for that. Well, Orange County, I always say Orange County. It's like known for its wealthy areas, right? And whenever I say Orange County, people go, oh, by the beach? I go, no, by the freeway. It's a dumpy little apartment. I live in Hollywood now, which isn't much better. People think it's glamorous. It's a shithole, right? Crazy people everywhere. I got a local crazy guy on my corner, heckles me every day I walk by. Some of my recent favorite heckles. Oh, there you go, there you go. You orchestra conductor looking bitch. Get this guy in a roast. Orchestra conductor, come on, he's spot on. Oh, you guys haven't seen me without my hat on, okay. You don't see orchestra, you don't see orchestra, you don't. You don't see it? Like, what is that job, by the way? How do we let those guys, you're telling me like, that's a thing, like the band needs this? Like, without that guy doing that, the violin guy is just... you just made that job up, dude. I think I tore my rotator cuff, by the way. Kind of hurt. I don't know. I've been having a really good year this year. This year has been great. Last year sucked. Last year, I just had to get my dog a $7,200 surgery. Yeah, fake boobs aren't cheap, guys. I love my dog so much. His name is Doogie. Doogie! He's the cutest dog. No matter what happens, like good set, bad set, horrible day, good day, I go home and I cuddle with Doogie at night, you know? Every morning I wake up too, I look at him and I go, good morning, Doogie! How you doing this morning? Are you still tired? You can't be tired, you were sleeping all night. You guys can judge the voice all you want. Hey, if you don't change your voice when you talk to a dog or a baby, you're a serial killer. How about that? Come on! You can't be like, hey dog, how you doing this afternoon? That guy's murdering people on the weekend, that guy. You have to be like, and that's how I talk to Doogie. I just talk to him how I think he could talk, you know, or how he would talk if he could talk. He's little. I think, sometimes I thought that too. I was like, I wish Doogie could talk. And then I rethought it, and I'm like, dude, he's so needy. There's no way. He's so needy. If Doogie could talk and he had a cell phone, I'd leave the house for 5 minutes. I'd check my voicemail. It'd be like, you have 30 new voice messages. Boop. Hey, what's going on? It's me, Doogie. Listen, I know you said we're going for a walk. I just kind of wanted to touch base and see what time you were thinking. Go ahead and give me a call back. I'm at home. Boop. Hey, it's me again. Listen, have you seen my red ball? Yeah, you don't know what we take to the park? Can't seem to find her. Anyways, no big deal. Call me when you can. Boop. The Amazon packages are here. Hey, you're not gonna wanna go in the living room. I couldn't hold it. Boop, I found the ball, hell yeah! Boop. I'm just kidding, it's me, Doogie.
You guys let me do that way too long. Thank you so much!
Sold out her entire run at the Edinburgh Festival with her critically acclaimed show, Lads, 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 which is probably nothing like the Girls, Girls, Girls show I definitely didn't watch last night. Please welcome Sarah Pascoe.
Hey. Hello. Thank you so much for having me in your moist city. I'm having a wonderful, wonderful time here. Thank you for having me, genuinely. I got picked up from the airport in an Uber, not bragging, and I went in one of your lovely Ubers. The gentleman driver, when I got in, he said, oh, would you like the radio on? And I said, oh, I don't mind, it's up to you. And then he said, well, actually, I make my own music. Do you mind if I put some of that on? No, I don't. And then he put on Drake's new album. I wonder how often that works. I wonder how often there's a middle-aged white woman thinking, well, he looks like Aladdin and he sounds like confidence personified. Pull over and jump in the back, Nikolai. I loved it. I'm having a very sexy time lately. A few weeks ago, I slept with my personal trainer. What a confidence boost. And then I realised he was just trying to get me to burn more calories. It was too frantic. I should have guessed when he said that his favourite position was woman in plank, man counting. But I did. So I've had to go back to my favourite. Yoga is my absolute favourite exercise. I love it. I love it so much. Yoga is my new drug. My old drug was drugs. Which I'm not going to say anything positive about because it's very irresponsible. I'm not going to say anything positive about drug taking. What I will say is I didn't take MDMA until I was 32, and it was such a relief to know I could be happy. But I do have things I don't like about myself. I have a paranoia. I have a paranoia that I can't compete with pornography. Anyone I go out with now, they'll have a computer and they can put in a few search terms and then watch all of these women and men enthusiastically pretending to like doing things that I'm not going to pretend to like doing and I'm not going to do. I don't like doing anything. I like having three things done to me very gently while I lie there. That's my sex style. And I'm saying that to all of you as a warning in case any of us ever get together. And that is open to people of all genders. I'm trying to have more sex with women since I found out lesbians are very good at the three things I like. The most embarrassing thing, though, and again, I have to accept these things about myself. I'm 37. I'm not going to change. The worst thing about me, really, and I kept it secret for a long time, is I don't like art. I think art's rubbish. All of it. I think lots of people think art is rubbish, but we're too worried about looking stupid, so we just go along with everybody else. I think the worst art form of all, I mean, I hate them all, but the worst, I think, is theatre. I think it's diabolical. Please don't get offended if you're an actor. Being in a play is obviously incredible fun. You get to put a wig on and walk up and down and move your arms and project your voice, saying things like, I think you'll find you're contradicting yourself, Alan. Fun, having to watch it. I can't concentrate. They don't let you look at your phone. So all you're thinking is, well, how long has it been? And you have to judge. You have to judge from how long it feels, which is forever. And then they have a false ending called an interval, where technically you could leave, but you have Stockholm syndrome. And you don't want everyone around you to think you weren't intelligent enough to understand the play. So you're just sitting there and you're trying to be positive. All you're thinking is, well, sometimes the second half is shorter. And eventually, after several days, the play finishes. And then what happens is you're flooded with an incredible feeling, and it's called freedom. And I think we mistake that feeling for having enjoyed the play. That's the problem we're doing. And I'm not just picking on theatre. I don't like any art form. I don't like music. I know that everyone likes music. I don't like it. It's too noisy. Shut up, music. I don't want to have an emotion I didn't have a minute ago, thank you. I don't want any memories. I do have an exception. I do like Drake, but that's only because I recently had sex with him in an Uber. thank you so much for having me. Enjoy your night. Good night.
A little bit more about myself. I'm married, my wife is Vietnamese, doctor, last name Ho. I married a Ho. That is a wet dream to a comic, okay? Get in the car, Ho! Make me some rice, Ho. You complete me, Ho. I can say that because I'm very sensitive. I'm Korean, she's Vietnamese. Any Koreans in the house? Great, let's talk about them. Okay. Koreans are the angriest of the Asians, okay? Yo, what's up? Hey, Josh Sigmund? That means hello in Korean. Vietnamese? Any Vietnamese in the house? Okay, all right, calm down, relax. You know? Kind of like a dandy, you know what I'm saying? Da sao em da bua gamang. Da sao em da bua gamang. Vietnamese is Koreans on weed. Think about it. Yo, monsieur, he just went. Da sao em da bua gamang. And that is how I came up with the voice of Chow. Anyway. By the way, it was my idea to be naked in The Hangover. I don't know if you guys know that. My wife said it will be the feel-good movie of the summer because every guy will go home feeling good about themselves. That's my hope. You guys ready for the rest of the show? You guys ready? Keep it going. Make some noise. Please welcome my buddy, Francisco Ramos!
What up, Montreal? How are ya? Come on, let me hear ya! So happy to be here, man. It's my first time in Montreal. Love this city. It's a great, great city. Great, great city. Love it. So many tourists walking around. It's amazing. I still haven't met any Latino tourists, though. I haven't. You know why? Because Latinos, when we travel to a different country, we stay. I'm from Venezuela, guys. Yeah. Okay, cool. My family came. All right, thank you. I'm from Venezuela, but I've been living most of my life in the U.S., and I know I still sound like Fez from that 70s show. Can't get rid of the accent, you know? I actually started taking an American accent class just to sound more American. And in the class, they tell me that I have to enunciate every word. So the other day, I got pulled over by a cop. So I was like, all right, I'm going to use my American accent. So I'm sitting in my car. The cop comes over to my window, and I'm like, hello, officer. Hey, what seems to be the problem? The cop was like, your voice. Why are you talking like that? I'm talking like any American citizen. And he deported me. That's why I'm here with you guys. Oh, man, like I said, I turned English when I moved to the U.S. English is a very hard language to learn. Too many words sound similar. Like when I was growing up, I couldn't say the word beach. Couldn't say that word. And I had to do a presentation in middle school about Venezuela, you know, so I start. There's a big map of Venezuela behind me, and I go, the best thing about Venezuela are the bitches. There are very big bitches in Venezuela. And there are some dirty bitches, too, and I don't like dirty. I got suspended for 3 days. My teacher took me out of the classroom. She's like, look, Francisco, I don't know how you do things in Mexico. I was like, what? I'm from Venezuela. That's the same thing for us. Is this your girlfriend, sir, or wife? How long have you guys been going out? What? You have no idea? Okay, thank you. Proves my point exactly. Guys, we have no idea how long we've been in a relationship. We don't. You know why? Because ladies, you're the ones who keep track of a relationship. Because you're the ones, you start the relationship. But you never tell us. You just do it and we have to figure it out. I figured it out. I think ladies, you start the relationship when we say hi to you for the first time. We're like, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Oh my God, it's happening. He said hi to me on the 21st. Let the countdown begin. A lot of my friends are getting married. They love to have destination weddings, which I found that's a little trick that wedding people do, right? They invite a lot of people so they don't go, right? Let's invite 500 people to Uganda. I don't mind going to Uganda, but they still want you to bring a gift. If I'm going to Uganda, the gift is me. Right? $4,000 and you still want bathroom towels? They're coming from the hotel room. Thank you, Montreal. Merci beaucoup.
All right, this next comic is from a town in Newfoundland with fewer people than are here in this theater. Please welcome Matt Wright.
How's it going? All right. My name is Matt Wright. Thank you very much for having me. I'm going to talk about my dogs for 7.5 minutes. I don't know if you guys have dogs. If you don't, I don't know where your self-esteem comes from, but good for you. I miss my dogs when I travel, but I have a little trick which I'll share with you when I'm in a different town. What I'll do is I'll sneak into a local dog park and get some strange. Nobody checks who owns the dogs. I don't think that'll work when I have children. I don't think I can get up on the road and be like, I miss my kids. Oh, 10-10, recess, let's do this. I'm from out of town, who wants their belly rubbed? I got my dog from an animal shelter in St. John's, Newfoundland. Not to be a good person, I was just poor at the time and I wanted something that liked me. And I called them, I said, hello, may I have a dog, please? And she was like, yeah, we have a surplus. So they brought it over the next day, and she was like, this is Lou. And I was like, oh, cool. I wasn't looking forward to naming it. I looked at this dog. I remember the first time I saw her. She was perfect. She was 16 pounds, overweight. She had one eye that went this way and one eye that went the other way, and she was missing part of one of her ears. And I was like, lady, I was promised a full dog, but she was gone. So now I'm here with this dog that I did not get the chance to name Evander Holyfield, which feels like a missed opportunity. My girlfriend also has a dog, so I have a stepdog. He is a golden doodle. I did not know a golden doodle was a type of dog. A golden doodle to me sounds like a luxury dildo an elderly woman would use. Harold doesn't talk to me on Sunday nights. He knows what I'm doing. I'm getting to the tub with a glass of Shiraz and my golden doodle. It's been in my family for generations. Dogs are priceless. That one cost $1,200, which is $1,200 more than I paid for my dog, and I'm worried about her self-esteem if she ever finds out. Because the golden doodle is so big and photogenic, he wanders around the house all day with a look on his face like he almost knows calligraphy. And then Lou walks around the house and Sora's like, excuse me, da-da, how much was I? I'm like, $1,200. And then Lou comes up, she's like, oh, and me? How much did I cost? And I'm gonna be like, ooh, your mother and I love you both equally. You were on sale. I got some news last year. I had to take Lou to the vet, and the vet told me that she had a torn ACL, and that was devastating financially. And emotionally, of course. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, I wonder what it's like to have American health care. And then I went to the vet and I was like, oh, roughly that. But vets are incredible. I was like, can you please fix my dog? She's like, yes, of course. And you won't believe this, but we have a sale on right now. So I can offer you a surgery that works 61% of the time for the low, low price of $9,200. I was like, what? This dog was free. That's how they get you. It's like Columbia House. I gotta get that joke on TV right now because in 30 minutes, no one's gonna get it. She had a torn ACL, and that made me very upset because I don't mean to be rude, but that's an athlete's injury, right? My dog doesn't play basketball. That's not what happened. That would be a better story. What happened to your dog? Well, check out the highlights. And LeBron James is flying down the court, and he's got an open layup to put the Raptors out of the playoffs again, and there's no one there to stop him. But wait, here comes Matt Wright's fat dog flying down the court. Oh my goodness. And she soars through the air like a loaf of bread with legs and puts a scrawny little paw into the air and rejects the greatest athlete walking the planet. You wanted to be in movies, LeBron? Welcome to Air Bud 5, bitch. Oh, no. But it looks like she's landed awkwardly and she's clutching her little knee. That might be a torn ACL, which means Lou, the somewhat beagle, is out for the season. That's not what happened. She was asleep on the couch like she is 18 hours a day. And then she farted in her sleep, woke herself up, backflipped off the couch, landed on her paw, and now my kids can't go to university. Thank you guys very, very much. I'm Matt Wright. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Let's bring our next comic up to the stage for you guys. What can I tell you about Jess Solomon? She's Canadian, she's hilarious, and she's gay. Three things Paul Ryan only wishes he was. Please welcome Jess Solomon.
Oh my God, this is amazing. It is so nice to be here. I live in America now, so you know that I'm not just saying that. I'm from Montreal. I'm from one of those Anglo families. Oh, thank you, thank you. I live in New York now with my Muslim wife. Obama let us in. Yeah, that's how that happened. I'm Jewish. She's Palestinian. That's not normally how people react. That wasn't how our families felt, but I appreciate that. We've been together a little while now, and we do still have sex. Yeah, we do. When our phones are charging, that's when it happens. We decided to spice things up recently. We tried some role play. The problem for my wife and I is that she doesn't have a lot of, like, acting range. Yeah, she only knows how to be the bitchy version of whatever the character is. You guys see the problem? We did something very basic. Don't judge. Masseuse client. No big deal, right? She was a client. I was a masseuse. She lay down on the bed. I left the room. I got into character. I was Helga from Scandinavia, obviously. Deep tissue specialist, made a mean meatball. Like, I knew my character, right? So I go into the room and I announce myself and I'm like, Helga's here, hello, or whatever. And my wife turns around and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I ordered a man. It's not cool. This may be shocking to you, but I haven't always been a hilarious comedian. No, before comedy, I was a lawyer. That's a decision I made. Yeah, I was a war crimes lawyer with the United Nations until I decided it was time to get serious. And here we are, you know. Life is short. Sometimes you just have to look yourself in the mirror and say, Jess, where's this whole being a UN war crimes lawyer thing really going to get you? Sure, bringing war criminals to justice is a great way to kill time and hang out with your friends. But is there a future in it? Maybe it's time you put your law degree to use, bailing degenerate comics out of minor drug offenses. That was every conversation when I started comedy. It was like, Jess, I'm having a little bit of a legal issue. Okay. Did you commit a genocide? Because if not, I cannot help you. You know? It's not my area. I'm the kind of person, I try to do the right thing a lot. I care. And I've always been that way. Like, ever since I was a kid, when I was a kid, I once shoplifted a thesaurus. Yeah, but then I felt so guilty, so remorseful, so repentant, so contrite, so shameful, so sorry I brought it back. Also this, I just put this together recently. I only started dating women when Canada legalized gay marriage. I just did the math on that. Yeah, I'm gay, but I feel like my sexual orientation is respects authority. You know? But you guys have been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Our next comedian rose to fame at SNL and in the hit stoner comedy Half-Baked. But these days, the only thing he gets high on is life. And also weed. Please welcome my brother, Jim Brewer!
Howdy, howdy. Doing good? Nice, very nice. Had a good summer. One of my friends came in from Europe, and he's like, you want to play some soccer? And can I ask something? Is soccer big in Canada? No, it's not. I watched the World Cup. I don't get it. Americans, they try every year, like, you're gonna watch soccer this year, it's jogging with a ball. That's all it is. Just, now, okay, where am I? It's just, okay, that's okay. You just watch it, and people get excited. Like, this has been one of the most unbelievable games in centuries. There they go. They're moving in on the offense. Okay, they're going back the other way now. Such great defense. It's 0-0 for a week straight. What? How do you... I don't get it. And they go crazy when they score because it never happens. Good! and run around like a lunatic. I got a mother on the score! I got a mother on the score! I'm out of breath, man. I'm 50, and I almost just killed myself. I almost killed myself. And let me tell you something. When I die, I'm going out with a bang. Because life is beautiful. No matter what you go through, it's beautiful. Forget funerals. Who came up with that? Okay, we're going to put the coffin here. And then you stand right next to it. And we have people come in and say, sucks to be you for 2 hours. Come on in. Sucks to be you. Sucks to be you. Sucks to... Keep the line moving. We got a lot of people. Why don't we spice it up? I want to get shot. I want my corpse blasted out of a cannon. How much fun would that be? Right? And right before they shoot me out, just you got to hand out those fun horns they do on New Year's Eve. Not the ones that go, ah! That's I'm talking about ones that go like this. And I want fireworks just taped to my body and just blast off for a show. They're shooting a corpse out, you're it. Here we go. And then the fireworks hit right before the an ear is landing on the ground, and the birds are having a ball. Ah! And when it's all over, I want the smoke to say, see ya! See ya, Montreal. Thanks for having me.
Here in the theater right now. I want to thank everybody at JFL for giving me the most full circle moment of my comedy career. 18 years ago, 2000, I was here at Best of the Fest in Comedy Works, and to have my own gala is something I could never conceive of. Thank you, guys. Thank you, JFL. I love you guys. Je t'aime. Thank you so much.